For those of you still contemplating the Thanksgiving feast, NPR's Alex Chadwick has a novel suggestion. And you should listen to Alex because he claims he can trace his family tree back to the Mayflower. His menu addition is both unexpectedly appropriate and probably more welcome, at least in some households, than, say, a covered dish of creamed onions. Here's Alex.
First, for longtime listeners, the ingredients here do not include cranberries, relish, or horseradish.
Oh, stop.
In fact, no solids at all, unless you like an olive or a twist. About September every year, Morning Edition's executive producer, Ellen McDonald, sends a note around reminding us that the holidays are coming. Think of something to do, she demands. What a happy coincidence that someone called to say Sean Harrison would be in town.
I never comment or say how you should create a drink. It's a very personal thing.
He's being modest. Mr. Harrison is well qualified to offer advice on cocktail creation. He's the master distiller for a once well-known beverage that is now attempting a comeback, Plymouth Gin, from Plymouth, England. Yeah. That Plymouth.
Plymouth is, or was, the last place that the Pilgrim Fathers visited with the Mayflower because of the storm damage that happened to the ship. And they happened to stay in part of our distillery. It wasn't the distillery at the time. It was a town meeting house. The only place in that area of Plymouth where that many people could have stayed. And it's just one of those historical quirks of fate.
The Pilgrims left Plymouth in 1620. That building where they last stayed didn't become a distillery for another 170 years. But it has been one ever since, making a distinctly different kind of gin that is also its own brand. All Plymouth gin comes from here.
There is a lot of differences between gins. It's something that is not explained very, very well, but every single gin has a different recipe, a different quantity of juniper or a different quantity of whatever else they happen to put into it. If you put more of one product in, you put more of that flavor onto the alcohol, so that changes the taste that you get.
Naturally, the Plymouth formula is secret. Its admirers, though, have included the very well-known Winston Churchill, FDR, James Bond's creator Ian Fleming, plus many generations of more anonymous but probably equally devoted sailors.
I don't know whether he was official, but he was known as the gin of the Royal Navy for sure.
Gary Regan, cocktail and spirits expert and the author of The Martini Companion. We called him to ask if the Plymouth gin story is legit.
Plymouth is very high quality, and it's of a style that I prefer, drier, more highly perfumed. That's where Plymouth falls for me.
Mr. Regan knows Plymouth gin. Those elegant war-era aficionados knew it. But Plymouth nearly disappeared in the last decades. The distillery actually got in trouble during World War II when grain alcohol was rationed in England, and Plymouth could barely make enough of its product to stay in business. And after the war, Plymouth never really recovered. But now there's new management and outside investors, the same people who market the extraordinarily successful Absolut Vodka. And Plymouth, down to an annual run of a mere 5,000 cases a few years ago, is ready to attempt another American landing as a boutique high-end gin. It'll be like single malt whiskeys or fine wines. Maybe you don't think of gin that way, but listen to Gary Regan.
Juniper nose with a fresh herbal backdrop, highly perfumed body, very dry palate with complex fresh juniper herbal floral notes and a crisp dry finish.
Now add a couple of flowers, a drop of dew, stir for a couple of hours till dreams come true.
As to the number of kisses, it's up to you.
Moonlight cocktails need a few.
I arranged to meet the Plymouth man, Sean Harrison, at the cocktail bar of the Tabard Inn, a traveler's rest favored by those who really know Washington. He's sipping a draft beer when I get there, two martini glasses chilling nearby. we talk about how to make a drink, or more exactly, how to make a particular kind of gin. There are important factors for Plymouth, he says, the water base taken only from the springs of Dartmoor, the herbal ingredients, distillers refer to them as botanicals, and the alcohol. Plymouth is actually lighter than other gins.
We don't really sell it on the alcohol side. We sell it on the balance of flavor. It's not about alcohol. It's about enjoying the drink. It's not about getting as much alcohol as possible. And we've tried to create the happy balance.
Most liquor today is 86 proof. Plymouth is about 82. Oh, proof, the distiller adds, eager to share a little liquor lore. Proof comes from the nautical past, when warships carried stores of rum and gin.
If you made gunpowder sodden and it still exploded, that was 100 proof. And then there were some slight variations to make it either above 100 or below 100. And that's the way that the Royal Navy used to take it to sea, because they knew their gunpowder was still going to go bang if the two got mixed in battle. And that makes a very mean martini. It's nothing quite like drinking 100 proof alcohol.
Blissfully, we are spared such an encounter. We order Plymouth martinis, shaken, not stirred. Now, I normally forswear drinking on duty, but heck, this is duty. Crisp. The flavor of the juniper arranged a little differently. It's a little softer than the bold, the blotto booze that might be unsuitable for a family occasion, certainly for one recalling pilgrim ancestors. You know, I think this could become a holiday tradition.
Most any afternoon at 5.
I love creamed onions, by the way.
We'll be so glad we're both alive.
We'll be so glad we're alive.
At the cocktail bar of the Tabard Inn, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News. Happy Thanksgiving.